Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 17 in our teaching on the life of Daniel titled The Spirit of the Antichrist, Part 2, and Demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
How is everyone? It's good to have you here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. And we do have the ability to change the spiritual atmosphere of the planet. And we do have the capability of changing the spiritual atmosphere of a state and a county. And but let's start with seeing if we can change the spiritual atmosphere of this room. And we can change the spiritual atmosphere of any place that we are. And it's because we're the people of God. Say, we're the people of God. And the power of God is within me. Well, we got a few that's participating in the power of God this morning. We can truly change the atmosphere of any place we set our foot. There is a, I had an experience with the Spirit of the Lord this week, and I've got to get out of the book of Daniel. It's wearing me out, you know. Stirs up the prophetic and dreams, oh my goodness. But in this, what happened was I was waiting on the Lord. And as I was waiting on the Lord, I was talking with him, and I was in the back side of the field and sitting in the pickup and under a tree. I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I was physically there. I was physically there. And then I was spiritually kind of left there. But I was physically there, and I was just conversing with the Lord and, you know, about, Lord, we need to be able to hear your voice more and need to hear your plan. What are you up to? You know, I've always heard that we're to join you and your plans and all of this. And so I was, maybe I took a nap. I don't know. But either way, I had a little dream or vision, if you will. And what happened was I was with the angel of the Lord, and I was in the mode of waiting on the Lord to hear him, to be an obedient servant unto his voice. And the angel of the Lord said, well, the Lord's waiting on you to speak. And the whole thing shifted, and he said, the Lord wants to join you. And that was a different, little bit different idea. And he was saying that the Lord, that that's what the words of knowledge are. He explained to me the words of, we have the words of knowledge on Sunday morning, and the explanation was that the Lord wants to join us. We, you know, a lot of times we like to say, well, this is what I hear the Lord saying. Well, what the vision did to me was it says the Lord saying, well, I want to hear what you're saying, and I'm going to join your words. And that was a little different experience for me. I caught it. I heard what the Lord was saying. But it was going along with the desires of your heart and this type of thing. And the Spirit of the Lord was saying that we are, the Lord wants to hear what we're saying. The Lord wants us to participate. But the key thing I was getting was in the words of knowledge, was it's not so much, we might hear the Lord saying that. But the Lord might be wanting to hear what your heart's saying. And then he might join your heart. I was reminded it was passed, and I was sitting there, and I was reminded of there was an old farmer in Raleigh. His name was Ernest Sauls, and he's dead now. He was a tobacco farmer in Raleigh, North Carolina. This was back before they built Interstate 40, and when they built Interstate 40, it was a big, I don't know if I was a teenager at the time, but that was a huge event, you know, around these counties in the state, for Interstate 40 to come through. But anyway, he was a tobacco farmer in his 60s when I knew him. And he became one of the richest men in North Carolina. And but it wasn't raising tobacco. It was all of the clover leaves in the Raleigh area touched one of his farms. And it was definitely a four-leaf clover, I guess you could say. But everyone in the Raleigh area landed on one of his tobacco farms. And he did not raise tobacco on all of his tobacco farms. He heard the road was coming in, and he started buying up all the little farms everywhere around Raleigh. And he was a friend of my father's. He came by the farm there one day, and I was in my 20s, and I was trying to decide whether to plant soybeans or not. And he said to me, I said, "Mr. Sauls," I said, you're a farmer, you know how to make money. You know how to make right decisions. I said, "I don't know if I need to plant beans this year or not. They're this price and all of this." He looked at me and said, "Well, Alan, let's go with what we know." He said, "I know what your harvest will be if you don't plant. But that's all we know." He said, "The rest of it's just out there." He said, "Now," he said, "let me give you my philosophy on clover leaves and Interstate 40. I said, "Okay." He said, "I did not know that all the clover leaves was going to hit my farmland. So what you do is you have to get involved." He said, "So I got involved with Interstate 40, and I just started buying up land, not knowing what would hit where. But I had a pretty good idea that something would hit somewhere." He said, "My key to success is you get involved. You don't know the outcome. You just get involved." And he said, "So if you'll get involved with planting beans, I promise you, you'll have a harvest. Can't guarantee you what it'll be. I can just promise you a harvest." And he said, "So is life." He said, "You have to be involved before success can find you." And that just landed with me. It landed with me in life. But it also lands with me with words of knowledge. It lands with me for praying for people. It lands with me for praying for the sick or praying for those that are lost. And I think the key of the scriptures is God just wants us to be involved. We don't know if a clover leaf's going to hit or not. But we know if we don't get involved what our harvest is. It's zero. But if we get involved, then we have something for success to touch. And this all came back to me as this was happening to me. And I don't know what this has to do with Daniel chapter 8 and 9 other than it just stirred that up in me. And as a church and as a people of God, the more we're involved with God, it's not a matter, I can't guarantee it's going to rain. I don't know if we're going to get 10 bushel an acre or 100 bushel an acre. But the only thing I can tell you, if we'll plant, we'll get something. I've planted corn every year of my life, and I've had a harvest every year of my life. Some's been good and some's been not so good, but I had a harvest just the same. So I got a feeling if we get involved with God, we will find success there because we're involved. So could our eyes be focused on planting for harvest and not the yield of the harvest? Could our focus be on being obedient to planting? So there will be a harvest because there won't. See, we're waiting on a harvest. Not realizing you got to plant before you can harvest. There's been a sower and he went out to sow. He sowed some seed, the word of God. The question is, are we sowing? It reminds me of how can we have a harvest unless we plant? Well, I'm afraid we like to take the lazy way out a lot of times. We want to harvest what somebody else planted, and I understand the theology and the understanding behind that concept. But also some things, and at the end of the age, things speed up. Some things take generations to harvest. Well, the harvest, when I look back in the scriptures of this harvest at the end of the age, it was like it takes 90 to 120 days to plant and harvest corn. It's talking about the end harvest. I believe that's this harvest. I believe we can plant today and see a return in 3 to 4 months. I think that should be expected. But could we be waiting on harvest that we've not even planted? Is anybody hearing me? Could it be that we're waiting on a harvest that we're not planting? So therefore, as I move forward in here with Daniel, what we're wanting to see is Daniel was involved. We'll hopefully get into a little bit of chapter 9 where Daniel has this long prayer. Daniel was always involved with God. What was his first place of involvement? Daniel was known as a man of prayer. How do you know if you are truly involved with God or not? It's because you're a man or woman of prayer. If you find yourself always asking God for something to receive, but you haven't previously been talking to God in prayer, you might just be a little selfish on the end of always wanting to receive and not having a relationship with God and talking to Him in prayer. We find ourselves always wanting the results without giving into the planting so that we can harvest. Daniel prayed. Daniel heard from God, but also Daniel acted for God. Now let's look at it here. I just give you that little pre-note there before we get started in today's service. And as we're going forward into today's service, I felt like that hopefully we can catch the spirit of Daniel. We want to catch the spirit of this prophetic book. The spirit is to penetrate our lives. We do not want to leave here the same way we came this morning. We want to leave forever changed in some area. If you're hanging on to not changing, you're in the wrong place, because I've been in prayer this morning. That we would not leave the same way we came. That something in us would be changed. Something about Daniel would get in us. About the prophetic vision of the Spirit of God. Something. Also, in that little experience I had, the Lord gave me something on the resurrection. I'll not share that with you now. On how the resurrection is going to take place and when we meet Him in the air. And I don't know where that one came from. It just kind of floated in there. Daniel 8:20, lest I get distracted. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Now we got up to this point last week. We were speaking about the spirit of the Antichrist. Now that's not the spirit of Daniel that we want in the book of Daniel. But we must understand that the spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit in which we contend with today. If you think that the same spirit today is stronger, or the spirit of the Antichrist, than it was in Daniel's day, the answer is yes. Because at the end of this age, this power of the spirit of the Antichrist, you see, the people have to be changed in order to receive the Antichrist. In other words, you've got to have Scripture gives us the idea, you've got to have a kindred spirit with the Antichrist, or you have a kindred spirit with Christ Himself. So when we say we want to have a closer relationship and understanding with Christ, there's more at stake than just you feeling good or it's a good thing for you. What's at stake is that we know the difference in the voice of Christ and the voice of the Antichrist. Because if we are in this day, or if we're beginning to gradually evolve into the day of the Antichrist, then the spirit of the Antichrist precedes His coming. Just like the Holy Spirit now precedes the second coming of Christ. So you can be for sure, do not be mistaken, that the power of the Antichrist will increase, and you are feeling it even now. It is battling for your mind and your soul. How do you know? And I'll show you a few things. How do you know that the spirit of the Antichrist is trying to get you? It's because it will cause you to minimize the things of God. It doesn't change them. You'll just minimize them. You'll never go against God. But you will minimize the things that you know about God. You'll minimize them so that the worth in your soul and your spirit, it has a less worth. And anything that has less worth has less impression upon who you are day by day by day. Who is impressing you? You know, you've been around somebody and said, boy, that person really impresses me. You know that emotional feeling. I've been impressed by this person. Well, what the enemy is after is that the Spirit of Christ will not impress you anymore. Anybody feel it? Like you have to fight it. You have to fight to be impressed by the King of Kings. Now, we wouldn't dare say it out loud. But in the secrecy of everyone's heart, that spirit is after you. That you will not be impressed by the Spirit of Christ. You can say, well, Alan, I am. Well, are you like you once were is the question. Can you ever remember a time that you were more impressed by Christ than you are right now? Well, if you can remember a time, then you know that his impression, he's not as impressive to you. Now, what does being impressed by someone mean? It means they are pressing into you. When you are pressed or impressed, that person is changing who you are. There's been an imprint of pressing into you. That's what an impression means. You've been impressed by Christ. The spirit of prophecy that Daniel had, because he was in prayer, he had the impression, he was impressed with God. If you want to be a true prophet of today, you have to have the impression of God. That means you must be impressed with him. He is wow to you. God is wow to you. If Jesus is wow to you and the Holy Spirit is wow to you, guess who is impressing you? If we've got impressions from the world, what is your impressions and your outward? That's who you're being imprinted by. So it is hard for us not to be imprinted by the ways of the world. Being impressed means you are being convinced. Are you with me? You are being convinced. There's a lot of things that will impress us today. And we think that, well, that's a good impression. That impresses me. That is just wonderful. Well, there again, my question is, ask yourself, if coming to church here on Sunday morning, there has been a time that the anticipation of us being impressed by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God is so great that you can't wait to get here. Does anybody hear my voice? Now, if that is less this morning than it has been before, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we ask and pray that our being impressed with you because of who you are, how the spirit of the Antichrist has robbed this from us, it's taken it from our soul, from our conscious memory, of us being impressed with who you are. Dear God, you do not have to keep performing little tricks for us every Sunday, for we're impressed. We want to be impressed down deep. Not by what we see, but what's within us. Let us be impressed, O God, because your Spirit lives in us. And there's a knowing in our knower that you're the Almighty God, that you have the power not only to change my heart, but others. Dear God, impress us and change our hearts that we might be impressed by you once again. Let our fire never go out. Let our fire burn. Let us be as Daniel. Let us have impressions from heaven. As we are impressed, O God, by you, our prophetic impressions will be from you. And let it be so on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I don't know what that's all about. But this vision, he says, deals with only two of the kingdoms presented. I'm going to try to get into Daniel here. There's some prophetic stuff just going on here today. I don't know what it is. I'm trying hard. Medo-Persian. Anybody heard of them? The Grecian empires. Daniel 7. Now, the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn is that between the eyes is the first king. Went over this last week. The rough goat is labeled the king of Greece, and the great horn is the first king, which was Alexander the Great. Just a little bit of overview from last week. We know that that is who that is. Now, in Daniel 8:22, it says this, "Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. So this is where we have the four kingdoms will come up, but we also got the one horn coming up out of it. Here is the four. We have Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great dies. When he dies, his kingdom is divided between his four generals. This is where we ended a little bit last week. Cassandra, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. Now, Seleucus is where we're going to focus on. It was Syria, Israel, and the lands to the east and to India. Israel was kind of right in the middle. It was kind of a buffer. It was kind of right in the middle for Seleucus. And we're going to barrel in on Seleucus here just a little bit. Now, Antiochus the fourth comes out of that of Seleucus. You say, well, Alan, why is that important? It's because Antiochus the fourth has the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, in doing prophecy, in doing the prophetic, you've got to understand, I hit this a little bit, I think, last week, that history does repeat itself. In the fact that you have in scriptures what's called allusions. I'll get into that in just a little bit. But prophetically speaking, when you see something come, it's usually coming again. Just like, did Christ come to the earth? Yes. That, in comparison to him coming and ruling and reigning on the earth, is kind of allusion to the reign of Christ on the earth. I've spoken to you before that this Bible, if you take the first two chapters and the last two chapters of the Bible, you have a complete thought of what God's doing. First two chapters, the last two chapters. When you read the first two chapters, God was in a building program of the planet Earth. Why was he in a building program? Because he had a new Jerusalem, his city, he is going to send to the earth. That's 21:22 Revelation. So God's in a building program because he's going to send his city. Well, he's still planning on sending his city. What we're doing here this morning is trying to be real, authentically real, with clear understanding of reality. Let me give you clear understanding of reality. God sending the New Jerusalem to this planet. And Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign, and we're going to be with him. Now that's a reality shot. Whether you believe it or not, that is a reality shot. Now, before that happens, some things are going on, and Daniel's telling us about it. The problem today, with one of the problems with the spirit of the Antichrist is apathy. Can anybody feel it? Listen, let me tell you how one way you know apathy works. It will actually make you physically sleepy. Anybody got a witness of what I'm talking about? So you think you're getting old? No. It's the spirit of apathy. It's causing us to sleep. It's causing the church to go to sleep. Y'all heard me say it several weeks ago here even. I love the movie The Owls of Gahool, and we're getting moon-blinked. If you don't know what that means, you're going to have to watch the movie. We're getting moon-blinked. We're asleep. Now, the problem today is the church has to awaken out of its slumber. You got the parables of the virgins and all that. We got to, listen, church, understand. There's a spiritual smoke falling on the earth of apathy, of being asleep, of minimizing God, from not being excited about what God's up to. Wake up, church. We've got to come awake. Awaken yourself. Drink some water. Splash some spiritual water in your face. Do something. Because upon the face of this earth is this spiritual apathy. You'll know you got a good dose of it when somebody else is excited and they aggravate you. Finally got a witness right there. Well, you got on my nerves way before then, Alex. No, I didn't come out right. No, I'm just kidding. I love it when you get on my nerves worshiping God. You do not get on my nerves. We've got to come awake and be awakened. Alex, is he trying to awaken himself? The answer is yes. He can feel it. So he's going to be just something to waken himself up. Do you have to do that to be awake? No, you don't. Does Alex? I know Alex. Yes. He has to do that to be awakened, and it blesses my soul. But this is the time and the age that we're in of spiritual apathy. Test what I say. When we come to church this morning, we have been impressed with that spirit of apathy. We are not awakened enough yet at New Life. We're still a little asleep. We're not awakened yet. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now. That all apathy would be broken. Be broken from us. That as this spirit of apathy is broken off of Alan Smith, I pray that everyone else will say the same. That we'll be awakened. We'll be totally awakened like Daniel. In the spirit of Babylon. He was under the influence of Babylon, but yet he reigned. For he knew who he was, and he knew who he talked with. He did not bow to any statue. They were not burnt up in any furnace. The hotter the furnace got, the harder their faith got. So, Lord, I pray for the spirit of apathy to be broken off of all of us. We do believe in your power to set us all free. Let us be authentic and in a spiritual reality. Give us the true reality, not the reality of this world. We break off of this church at any time the spirit of Antiochus the Fourth, that it has no place here from now until eternity. This is a safe haven for God's people. Spirit of the Antichrist, you are not welcome here. You have no place here. It's a safe haven for God's people. So, Lord, I pray that any of that I've drug in on me, forgive me, break it off of me. Any unbelief in me or any of us, break it off of us. That we might discern the time. Lord, we're losing a lot of good people. The enemy is trying to destroy them. They're trying to destroy their belief in you. Lord, let us stand with our belief in you, our faith in you. No matter what any outcomes are, we will not move. Enemy, we will not move. Whatever you throw at this church, we will not move. This is a safe place and a safe haven. In spirit of Antichrist, you have no place here. And Lord, I pray that we'll be fully alive today in your service. And we'll worship you fully alive. Help us to wake up. Help us to wake up out of the stupor. Help us to wake up. And whatever's to happen in the month of October to wake us up, Lord, I pray that we'll be waking up before then. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody think of something that God impressed you with? Just, when's the last time God impressed you? Can anybody think of some time that, the last time, Kathy?
Well, I know it's probably very elementary, but it's very good to me.
Amen. Yes. God said the same thing to you, that He hears you. Yeah. You know, just like with Kathy, just like what both of them were saying there, they knew that God heard them. And it has something to do with also, it's like I was saying, now, God, I want to hear your voice. But God was saying, but Alan, I want to hear yours. In other words, God's wanting us to speak. And let's say, and there again, I was saying, it's like the words of knowledge. If you have an impression today that comes out of your heart, you don't even have to say, I heard God say. You don't have to say that. Because the truth is, you don't know. But you can say, this is what I'm feeling for somebody. You got something in your heart that wants to... I just believe God wants to heal it. Well, why do you believe God wants to heal it? It's because God wants to join you. If you think that's a good idea and God approves it, He says, let's do it. See, God's not wanting us just to hear His voice. He wants to hear our voice. Does that make sense to Him? I'm not being sacrilegious here. I'm just... Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? We're to be proactive. And it would be that we're so impressed with God, the things that we're doing is the heart of God. That's all it is. You're so impressed with God that your impressions, that's what the prophetic is. You know, I've been impressed that somebody here, what, so-and-so. It's an impression. But the impression comes by whom you've been, impresses you. Does that make any sense? It's just the prophetic. It's just the way it works. And I felt like the Lord was saying He wants us to be more proactive in participating with Him. Because He can bless a soybean crop that I plant. But He can't bless one that I don't. Right? It's just totally impossible. So it's almost like we're waiting on God and God's saying, come on, y'all do something. I mean, it's almost like do it wrong, I'll fix it and we'll bless it. Right? Is not God not blessed some of your wrong stuff? You know, He fixed it and then blessed it anyway. Just do something, you know. I'm a dairy farmer, and when the cows get out, it's amazing how hard it is to put them up if they don't move. You see, we can be headed in the wrong direction, but as long as we're moving, God can direct us. So there's something worse than moving in the wrong direction, and that is don't move at all. We can trust God to move us in the right direction. Let's just move. He'll put us where He wants us to go. But it's important. And I felt like with this whole thing happening this week that the revival spirit here and there, I'm like, God, why did it go away? And He kept saying, you got to move. I'll direct it, but move. But God, we can't hear you. You say something. I'll bless it if it works. I'm sure God can call out what I pray that He don't want to do. I'm sure God can handle that. But if I'll speak 10 things, one or two of them He maybe won't do. What if I don't speak nothing? I'm not planting anything. He can't bless nothing as I'm not planting. Because we're to participate with Him. As bad English as all this is, does anybody get what I'm saying? And so we want to move, and we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait any longer. I mean, it's 10 minutes after 10. We start worship at 10:30. You know, a good 30, 45 minute waits, I think, is long enough. Let's move. Let's worship God. And just entertain the idea God might be interested in the desire of your heart. Just consider that thought. Yes, I mean, you don't have to say, well, I hear God saying. I mean, you know what? Because I don't know. Most of the things that I've heard, I think God's saying is so crazy, I won't say it. Then when you do say it, I'm not even sure if God did say it, but He said, boy, Alan, that's a dumb one, but I'll make it work here. And God works it around to where it works and for His glory. Just because... we'll move. Amen? Poor Daniel. I've left him completely out of this conversation. Spirit of the Antichrist. I think what stirs it is the spirit of Antichrist versus the spirit of Christ. because as the spirit of the Antichrist is moving and is so prevalent on impressing us and causing us to minimize God. Listen, we are a long way as a church. We are a long way. We're still asleep. We're still in apathy. We are a long way from being a church that has the name. You can go down there, you can find God. And it's because as a people, are we that impressed with God? It's just as a people, do we come expecting that much before God? I've been to a church and I've been in services to where when I went to the church, you could just feel the presence of God. It was so strong. You'd just cry when you came through the doors and you didn't really know why. And some of the people in the congregation had the worst hardships as you ever heard of in your life. The only thing I can promise you, if you believe Daniel, the greater the glory we get, the greater is required. To much is given, much more is required. You'll start figuring out being given much isn't all it's cracked up to be. You're given much, but you never get to eat it. You're given much, but you never get to touch it. You're given much, but that just means more's required. You never get to touch the much because it's there to be given away. 8th king of Syria, I'm going to try. Something about the Antichrist. He ascends the throne following the murder of his brother. That wasn't good. The Antichrist became ruler and he shouldn't have been. He wasn't the rightful heir. Demetrius, the son of Seleucus, the rightful heir to the throne, still lived but was held in hostage in Rome. He took him away so he could rule. And Antichrist succeeded in obtaining the throne largely through flattery and bribery. Now, the reason the spirit of Antichrist uses a lot of flattery and bribery, you know, I'll say, even in here, I say, let's don't give people too much credit. You know, let's don't praise man. Let's don't, and you can say, well, Alan, I don't mean it for flattery. Well, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, you know. So it's just easier to say, I love you, and just let it go, because the spirit of the Antichrist, it's flattery and bribery. And I had somebody ask me last week, and they said, well, Alan, aren't you a little heavy on that? And I said, yes, I am. And I probably carry it too far. I'll make my public confession. You know, I say, let's don't give anybody a lot of credit. Let's don't brag on people. And the reason I say that is when I was in a true revival over 20-some years ago, when people started bragging on each other, that's what broke it, and we couldn't get it back. We repented of it, and we still couldn't get it back. Wow. It's too late. The time we figured out what we did wrong is too late. So then we had to start to say, well, is it good as long as it lasted? There's some here can give witness to this. So that's the reason if I kind of overdo that one, it's because I'm a little shell-shocked in that area. It's because I know what it'll do. We all know we love each other and everybody in here is great because of Jesus, and outside of Jesus, we couldn't stand each other. But with Jesus, we love each other. Right? We all understand the ground rules. Right? When the Holy Spirit moves through you, you'll look better than you really are. We all know that. And we're all so happy that it's that way. So we never want to make the mistake of giving that credit to a not a spiritual phenomena to a man. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. Flattery, bribery, and all of that sort of mess. Now he came to power in 175 B.C., invaded Egypt. He recalled Egypt by Rome. He made Jerusalem, there he is, a buffer state. He plundered. He desecrated the temple. That's where the spirit of the Antichrist, he came in. He sacrificed a pig, did all of this mess. That will happen again. There again. It happened in history, but it's going to happen again. He's a type of the Antichrist. He was really here. He called himself the Illustrious One. Now, let me go over this right quickly. The little horns of chapter 7 and 8 compared. The little horn of chapter 7 and the little horn of chapter 8 is not the same person. And you'll have this chart in your notes next week. It's not the same person. Now, the little horn of chapter 7 is future, and the little horn of chapter 8 is history. Okay, are you with me? The little horn of chapter 8 is historical, while the little horn of chapter 7 is to be revealed in the future. But the one of chapter 8 historically really happened. But the one of chapter 7 has yet to happen. Now, there's, you know, Jesus even refers to that. Here's kind of the way it works. Now, I want you to catch this for prophecy's sake. Prophecy often had both an immediate near history and a distant fulfillment, thus applying to the situation the prophet faced and also to a future time. This multiplied fulfillment is one way of explaining how historical events can anticipate future ones. In other words, history tends to repeat itself, right? So, we know Antichrist really was here, spirit of the Antichrist, but the one in chapter 7, the horn, is the Antichrist. All right? Are you with me? Daniel 8:23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This stern-faced king describes both Antichrist the Fourth and the Antichrist at the end of human history. So he's already been here, but there's one coming like him. Now Gabriel moves ahead to the great tribulation and describes the Antichrist, or the beast. The earth is under Satan's control and dominion right now, but he'll hand over his power to the Antichrist. Now that's in Matthew, Daniel 8:24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by what? Now listen, he's going to be powerful, but it's not going to be by his power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty, holy people. Now I want you to see something here. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet, now this is Revelation 13:2, the feet of a bear, and the mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him what? Now, so the Antichrist, or this beast, gets the power from the dragon, all right? And his seat and great authority. The dragon is Satan himself, an unholy trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. In other words, the dragon gives the beast his power. I just read to you in Daniel that he doesn't have his own power. I'm showing you in Revelation where it comes from. It comes from the dragon. Now, it also says this in Matthew 24. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Here Jesus is referring to Daniel. He's saying, when you see this. So we know it hasn't happened yet, because Jesus is speaking of it as a future event. Are you with me? And we know this hasn't happened yet, but we know one has and one hasn't. But he says, when you see this, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth it, let him understand. Then let them which is in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. According to Christ, the abomination that causes desolation is ultimately yet to come. The other verse that goes with it is Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints to overcome them, and power was given him to over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Let me go to verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. He'll do what? Magnify himself in his heart. That's the reason why I don't like bragging and everything. I don't want anybody to magnify themselves in their heart. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of peace. He's going to come against Christ himself, but he shall be broken without what? In other words, he's going to come up against Christ, and I told you this last week, Christ doesn't use a sword. Christ just speaks it and defeats him. So that tells you something about the Word of God, right? A little bit footnote there. Broken supernaturally, the Antichrist peace plan will deceive the people of the earth. When the Antichrist stands up against Jesus Christ, he'll be broken by the word Jesus speaks. The power of God is so great that no physical force will be necessary to break the Antichrist. All right, then we go into the types of the Antichrist. Well, I didn't get much done. But hopefully what was needed to be said was said. We'll pick up here again next week. Keep in mind, as a church. I'll tell you another part of that happened to me in that vision. I didn't understand it. But new life is being offered, and we know through different prophetic words this is true. New life is being offered to be a true spiritual oasis on the east side of the United States. We are being offered that. Now, the only problem with being offered that, when you do things of the Spirit, it has to be authentic. You can't fake it. So we can be offered, but you can't fake it. You can't act spiritual. You can't do it. You can't try to be spiritual. I got to go. Listen, our contribution is our heart. Our contribution is to be awakened, if you will, to the things of the Spirit of the living God. And the way you know you're being awakened is that you are impressed by the presence of God and who God is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's one thing to mechanically and religiously work through something, and there's another one to get excited about it. The way you know you're excited about it, you want to do it before you read the book. You'll get that one later. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Lord God, I understand that many here today and that comes in these doors today have many, many hardships. We understand that. And Lord God, I pray for these hardships, that if they can be lessened, that they would be lessened by the intervention of who you are in these situations. Now, Lord God, for those situations that the spirit of the Antichrist is causing havoc by the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ, the spirit of the Antichrist in the lives of the people that we're talking about that hear this, spirit of the Antichrist by the power, it's the spoken word of Jesus Christ that defeats the power of the Antichrist. So where you're deceiving many, causing confusion, one way you know it's the Antichrist is confusion. For the spirit of the Antichrist of confusion, we come against it. We break it in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the Antichrist, you're to be broken off of everybody under the sound of my voice. Not because it's my voice, but it's because it's the name of Jesus that is powerful. Dear God, we believe in the power of your kingdom to change a wanting heart. We understand you won't change a heart that fights you, but a heart that wants to be set free of homosexuality. Right now, in Jesus' name, let the power of Christ invade your life, that it is broken this day forth, in Jesus' name. Dear God, for the power that the Antichrist has put over us of apathy and sleep, of minimizing your word and your truth and who you are, by the authority that's in the name of Jesus, we speak the words, because we know it's Jesus' heart, that be broken in Jesus' name. Now, dear God, I want to set every heart free in here today, that they would bring suggestions to the table, the desires of their heart. We're going to lay out our desires of our heart at your feet. We're going to lay them out there, oh God. We're going to let you cull them. We're going to let you bless them. We're going to throw them out there at your feet, oh God, that the desires of our heart might be heard. Lord, we're just foolish enough to believe. Dear God, we believe in you. And because we believe in you, we know you have all power. Now, we don't really understand this power. I don't understand electricity. But I just know it works and it lights stuff up. So, Lord, I pray you'll light us up. Light us up. Light us up, oh God. Set us on fire. Light us up. I pray, oh God, for every ounce of pain that's been felt, that it'll be doubled with joy. For every amount of failure that's been experienced will be doubled with success. Ever how deep the unbelief has gone, is it'll be doubled into belief. Dear God, I pray that we will not recognize ourselves in 30 days. Dear God, don't let us stay the same. We're so boring, even unto ourselves. Change us, oh God. Change us into an exciting people because we've been impressed by the Almighty God. Surely we could be impressed if we could see. So let us see. Let us hear. Let us see and let us hear. In Jesus' name.
All I want is